America's heart was ripped open at Utah Valley University, where Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old firebrand of Turning Point USA, was gunned down in a cold-blooded sniper attack at 12:20 p.m. Mountain Time. A single high-powered rifle shot tore through Kirk's neck from roughly 150 yards from what appears to be a shooter on the Los East Center building.
So there's somebody on the roof right there? Just saying? He just ran from, over, where's my finger? Whoa. From over there, ran in. Now he's right there.
A husband and father of two, a man who deeply loved a country that had rewarded him the providence his work deserved, was pronounced dead. There are reports that he died almost immediately after being shot. As the nation grieved, the Democrats feasted on the tragedy like a pack of hyenas.
Political violence, unfortunately, has been ratcheting up in this country, and I think there are people who are fomenting it in this country. I think the president's rhetoric often foments it.
The chair would ask that all members present in the chamber and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The House will be in order. The House will be in order. Shh.
While many Americans immediately confronted the elephant in the room and pointed a finger at cowardly color revolution, radicalization, mind control operations like MSNBC, who before we even knew if Charlie had survived, painted Charlie as an existential threat, gaslighting the country into believing Kirk's rhetoric was responsible for his own death, when in fact it was their own rhetoric that got us here. A clear display of broadcasted domestic terrorism, which is defined as violent criminal acts committed by individuals and/or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences, such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature.
He's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
And I know it's hard to predict the future, Mark, but you can imagine the administration using this as a justification for something.
Obviously, that there's a lot of rhetoric that is problematic. A lot of it is coming from one particular side and from one particular building. But what can be done? I fear when this is an escalation already in less than 24 hours of this shooting.
Speaking of this tragedy, is this a moment for your party to reflect on political violence? Is it a moment for us to think about the responsibility of our political leaders and their voices and what it does to the masses as they get lost in misinformation, disinformation that turns in and spills into political violence?
I say both parties.
Only Republicans, only people inclined to consume conservative media are now, I think, upward of 50% say that if necessary, violence is okay. You've only got the conduct on one of the two sides.
The solution, Mr. President, reinstate the Smith-Munn Act and enforce it. Obama's army of propagandists will fall. The shooter still remains at large after the initial suspect, who bizarrely declared "shoot me," was released. Although authorities claim to have held another suspect, were they just decoys to allow the real shooter to flee? And who is this person being arrested wearing black pants while a rifle is clearly confiscated? Steven Crowder received an email from an ATF officer detailing a recovered older imported Mauser 30-06 bolt action rifle wrapped in a towel in a nearby wooded area along the suspect's escape route, containing a spent cartridge and three unspent rounds engraved with transgender and anti-fascist messages. Kirk had reportedly been talking about transgender issues right before he was shot.
This morning I can tell you that we have recovered what we believe is the weapon that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle. That rifle was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter had fled.
Was this a solo fanatic radicalized by...
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of mental drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles.
Welcome to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I'm Nick Sorter, and I'm just going to dive straight into it. We all know the story of the week. It has been one that I never thought that I was going to have to cover myself. I mean, Charlie was a friend, a mentor, and as we'll see later in the show, he actually gave me one of my first breaks in this industry. It's crazy to have to report on it, and I've been doing it so much to the point where I don't even think it's hit me yet what's actually happened here. You know, America is hurting. All of America is hurting. I have heard from so many people from all walks of life these past several days, people that had never heard of Charlie before. Even my mother, my own mother texting me, a lifelong Democrat growing up, telling me how Charlie had touched her life over just the past few days of listening to his teachings, making her want to go back to church and reconnect with God. And you know, the videos that we've seen circulating, absolutely brutal. You know, we see this fearless voice of conservatism, the guy that built Turning Point USA from the ground up, taken out in cold blood in front of 3,000 college students. 3,000 college students that'll be scarred for life over this, overseeing this in person. But, you know, it's a tragedy, yes, but it's also a wake-up call for every patriot out there. And for those thinking that everyone's just going to move on from this in a few days, think again. This ain't business as usual. You have so many people that looked up to this guy. You had the president of the United States getting emotional over losing Charlie Kirk. Absolutely incredible impact this guy had at 31 years old. Our country is genuinely at a crossroads, guys, and Charlie's death is just a flashpoint that's igniting a fire that we haven't seen in generations. I don't know if you've seen these videos and the pictures coming out already from this weekend. Sunday Mass. Just full. Incredible. Out in real America, churches jam-packed all Sunday. Patriots flooding the pews, parking on the grass just to get in. There was even a guy from Tennessee that I posted about from X that said it best. He said, the enemy thought they had won, but you started a mass awakening. Another family heading to church for the first time in 15 years, all because of Charlie. His producer, Andrew Colvette, earlier today on Maria Bartiromo's show, said, if you want to honor Charlie, go back to church. Open your Bible. Pray. It's a revival, pure and simple. And Andrew also said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and Charlie's sacrifice is planting those seeds nationwide. We're seeing faith rise up, communities uniting, people rediscovering what made America great to begin with. God, country, and unapologetic conservatism. But Charlie, at his event out there in Utah, just trying to speak, just trying to debate, have conversations. And then he was ambushed by some radical leftist, had been brainwashed for years of leftist hate speech. Just seconds after he mentioned that trans violence is a major problem, of course. Charlie, you know, dedicating his life to fighting to restore America's core values, faith, freedom, and family, and they silence him for it. Why? Because he dared to speak against the BS globalist narrative that we've been fighting for so many years, and he was effective at it. He called out the woke agenda, open borders, the attacks on the Second Amendment, all the illegals pouring into the country that are replacing Americans, and that Joe Biden was trying to use to replace you guys as voters, all of us as voters. He was calling that out, and he did a dang good job. The young people went from pretty much fully left, even my generation, I'm 26, and even people my age when I was in school, you didn't hear any of this stuff. You didn't hear, people were afraid. Conservatives were afraid to speak out. And Charlie changed that. Pretty much unilaterally, almost. And that's why they had to get rid of him. I mean, he was changing generations of kids, pulling them away from that leftist narrative that they were being indoctrinated with in schools. Even the professors were left without power. There was a professor down at Florida Atlantic University, her name, Karen Leader, which is such a perfect fitting name. Karen Leader, placed on administrative leave for celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. The leftists think that they've gotten their power back now, but we ain't gonna let it happen. And I'll dive deeper into that as the show goes on here. And we'll also talk about his killer. This guy who I really hesitate to name, that everybody, all the leftists tried to say, oh, he's just a, he's a MAGA Republican. He's a MAGA conservative. I'm sorry, but I don't know any MAGA conservatives that are banging trans dudes. His boyfriend is a guy that pretending to be a woman and is also a furry. I mean, just demented sexual deviance. There's nothing conservative about any of that. So that narrative went out the window as soon as we got confirmation from the FBI, and I confirmed it with high-level sources myself, who the boyfriend was. The boyfriend now cooperating because he'll end up in prison with, I guess, with his boyfriend, if he doesn't. So. But it goes further than that. I mean, we've had hundreds and hundreds of people fired in this past week, and it's been absolutely beautiful watching it happen in real time. Army Colonel Scott Stevens, this morning we actually got this news, suspended by Secretary Pete Hegseth because one of our top brass is justifying Charlie's killing. The woke high-ranking military officials are taking themselves out at this point. It's a beautiful thing to watch. People are outing themselves left and right, this guy blaming Charlie, saying that he had what was coming due to his racist, homophobic, xenophobic, etc. rhetoric, all the things that the leftists have been telling you about all of us conservatives for years now. And you know, we really shouldn't be having this conversation at this point. This guy was able to get up on a rooftop, open fire, kill Charlie with one bullet and get away. I don't think any of us really believe that there was one solo actor here, that nobody else knew what was happening. There have been reports of people with license plates from out of state that was weirding out neighbors because they kept coming in and out of the shooter's house over the past 2 weeks. And you have to wonder why. We got to dig into that. Not let the feds cover it up as they typically would. We know a hell of a lot more about this guy in the first 2 days than we know about the guy that shot Trump and Butler. Are we ever going to find out what happened in Butler? I don't know. We'll try. But I feel like there's a lot of things they don't want us to know. And we're all on the same page about that. And then, of course, Jasmine Crockett, back on Fox News this morning, or not on Fox, of course not on Fox, on CNN, I believe, amping up the violent rhetoric again, comparing government officials to slave patrols. And Democrats are saying that the rhetoric isn't violent. But we're going to get much deeper into these stories as the show goes on. We'll talk about the killer, whether or not there was more than one person involved, the possibilities there. We'll talk about the rhetoric that led to this. And, you know, we're going to talk about some of the beautiful things as well that have come out of this, the positive things, such as thousands and tens of thousands of people across the world coming together to honor Charlie Kirk. Coming out of the woodwork to do so. And our first guest that we're going to have on right after the break here, Kevin Smith, hosted one of these vigils yesterday in Long Island. Thousands of people showed up. I've never seen anything like it, especially in New York. We'll talk about that right after the break here. InfoWars Sunday Briefing. We'll be right back.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban.
Right.
This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
100%, I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. We look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
right, and welcome back to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I wanted to bring in Kevin Smith here. Kevin Smith, you are the host of Loud Majority Live on LFA TV. And we talked a little bit in the last segment about all the people, all the Americans coming together for Charlie Kirk, even in places like New York, a place that, you know, surprised me, quite frankly. Kevin, you're there. Welcome to the show. I want to roll through real quick. Clip number one here. All the people at your rally yesterday screaming, Charlie, Charlie. It was a beautiful thing. I could watch this on loop.
Do it for Charlie, everybody.
Incredible to see. Kevin, I mean, I know you've hosted events like this in the past, but what was different about this one? You actually texted me something that I thought was pretty interesting here. You said the cops said, this was before the event actually happened, you said the cops said they got hundreds of calls asking for information about it, and usually for your events, they get like five. What was different here, Kevin?
You know, just the energy. Watching... So our organization, the Loud Majority, tends to be a bit of an older crowd. You know, it tends to be parents in their 40s and their 50s and whatnot. But what was different about this, there were so many young people at this thing, man. Like, and I'm not talking like turning point age, you know, 19, 20, 20, 21. People brought their 12-year-olds and their 13-year-olds, and they came up to me afterwards crying because of how much they loved Charlie Kirk and how much it meant to them. And they would watch him on TikTok, and they'd watch him on all the new apps all the kids are using. But you know, it was just so much love. And this, you know, obviously was put together in about 40 hours. You know, we had about 5,000 people there. It just, everyone felt like they lost something. Look, you knew Charlie. I got to meet him once or twice. And he was just a great guy, but these were 5,000 people who didn't know him. Never met him, never got to spend time with him. And it was such an amazing feeling, but a sad feeling that people felt like they lost a member of their family. They felt like they lost someone they knew. And, everyone just kind of wanted to come together and be together on it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I mean, these have been popping up all over the world. Even I said all over the country, but really all over the world, we've been seeing these things happening. I mean, there was close to a million people in London yesterday screaming Charlie's name, which is just incredible to see. It really shows you the worldwide impact that this guy had, you know. But I want to go back a little bit. I want to roll, clip one, guys, from the segment two, clip one, to show what happened out there. After these shots rang out, you've got 3,000 college students out there that just witnessed a man be murdered in front of them. What do you think that's going to do? You think that's going to draw? Oh yeah, no, we surrender. We're going to move back to the left. We're going to start wanting to, you know, trans each other again and the women have to shower with men again. Like, do they think this is going to be a strategy that's going to work? Terrorizing the youth. What do you think's actually going to happen here, Kevin? Let's be real.
I mean, I think that there's going to be a groundswell of people wanting to come out, wanting to start Turning Point chapters, wanting to get involved, wanting to know as much as Charlie knew. You know, what was so great about him was that he knew his stuff and he was well versed in everything. And when I spoke to the kids last night, I told them, if you want to honor Charlie, then do the hard work that he did. Know your facts, get involved and whatnot. And to those kids who had to witness it, you know, I feel for them. No one should have to see that. And, you know, unfortunately, we all saw the images on social media. We all saw the videos that's going to live on forever. You know, I imagine it's much the same way as, you know, the Kennedy kids have to, you know, they can Google the moment that their father was killed or their uncle was killed. Not many people have to live through that. So I don't know what's going to happen with them. I hope that they find grace and I hope that they find closure. But more than that, I hope they find motivation. I hope seeing this happen lets them know that, you know, as they say, you know, next man up, You know, we're ready to take the mantle that Charlie left behind, and I hope the kids there do the same.
Yeah, and Kevin, there have been some names floated as to who could possibly take the mantle, and someone who has volunteered themselves was none other than Ben Shapiro. Your thoughts on that one?
I'm a fan of Ben's. He's a bit more of a neocon than I am. He's a bit more of a hawk than I am. Obviously there is one issue in particular that, it's probably not going to work so well with the youth. It's not over here. It's over there. We can just say what it is, but,
we can definitely say it is. Ben Shapiro is not America first. He's Israel first. And that is what it is. And the kids see right through that. It's not going to work. He doesn't resonate with them anymore. So that's my two cents.
It was watching the turn away from what the Republican Party was to what it is today. I was at SAS this year when Tucker Carlson went out and gave that speech and he, the whole room clapped and you saw everybody over the age of 40 go, whoa, well, you can't talk like that. And everyone under the age of 30 was like, yeah, all right, let's do this. Why are we still doing this foreign aid thing? We're over it. And, I mean, look, in terms of popularity, you know, Ben is probably as famous as Charlie, but I think that he's severely missing missed his moment. If this was 2015, 2016, 2017, you know, with the Ben Shapiro destroys videos that took over the internet, I think he might have had a shot, but, I think the only person that can fill Charlie's shoes is all of us. All of us doing our part collectively. You know, I can't go to UCLA campus, but I can go to St. John's in Queens. I can go to Hofstra on Long Island. But if you're in LA, go to UCLA, go to USC, go to your local colleges and just put up a table, just like Charlie would have done.
Yeah, and that's the one of the things that I have thought about the most this week has been who do we replace? There's nobody that comes to mind. I know it's like cliche, you know, everybody says this like every time. I genuinely don't know who can be Charlie Kirk, because it was the delivery, his ability to have a conversation with somebody without, you know, being whatever you want to say, nasty to them or something. He could actually have that dialogue, and actually convince people on the spot that they were wrong. You'd see these people buckle in real time and Charlie would just let them down easy. And the entire audience would see that. And I think that's why he was so effective doing so. And genuinely, that's going to be the biggest thing to find out.
Nobody knows who played shooting guard on the Bulls after Jordan. Nobody knows who played shortstop for the Yankees after Peter. You know, whoever is going to fill those shoes next, it's going to be difficult, no matter how good you may be or how good you think you are. So it's going to be on all of us.
Yeah. Kevin Smith, host of Loud Majority Live. Really appreciate you coming on, sir, and great job with that vigil yesterday.
Anytime, buddy. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back talking about the State Department revoking visas for people celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. We'll be right back.
I'm jacked up on the Meth Lane Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Meth Lane Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Meth Lane Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like, getting sick of Alec plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I feel I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up, because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered two bottles of it because you had buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take two of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at?
I'm
right
walking.
Now? Okay.
No, I'm. You know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong. I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks. But I'm able to speak properly where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And by when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take two of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear.
You know, talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so
and thank
much.
You for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
They don't want you to see. You're watching InfoWars Sunday Briefing with your host, Nick Sordor.
All right, guys. Look, one of the biggest things that we focused on over the past week are the people that have been the U.S. politicians, the Democrats, and their, you know, their legacy media partners having, like, some of the worst takes we have ever heard. On TV, you'd think that this came off of like Saturday Night Live or something, but it didn't. Roll clip one for me, and then I'll see you on the other side.
But following up what was just said, he's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
This guy, the king of bad takes, same guy that said, oh, well, maybe he wasn't assassinated. Maybe it was somebody in the audience celebrating and their gun went off. That was his original take. I mean, just absolutely amazing. This guy has since been fired. His take was so bad that even MSNBC was like, nah, you're out, bro. You're done. This is you're terrible. We're not paying you anymore. Get off our air. But it's one thing when it's an American saying that kind of thing. It's another thing when you have foreigners coming into our country saying really even worse things, justifying the murder of Charlie Kirk, an American hero. So I wanted to bring in somebody that brought this to my attention. Naomi Zeift, a German political commentator. Naomi, well, first off, I want to thank you for coming on, but I also want to roll this clip of the man who you guys, who your state media, German state media, sent to the United States to cover our politics. Roll that, guys.
I'm going
to have to speak over it. He's speaking in German. He said Charlie Kirk was an extremely harsh, it could definitely be described as far-right extremism. He believed there's a population replacement happening in the U.S. due to immigration. He said homosexuals should be stoned to death.
9/11, ihr habt es angesprochen, gesagt, dass
he claimed that Mamdani, you know, the communist up there in New York, the left-wing candidate in New York is a mockery of history after 9/11. This guy goes on and on and on and then justifies the murder of Charlie Kirk, acting like, oh, he understands. It makes sense that Charlie Kirk was murdered based on that. Naomi, who is this guy and why is he in our country?
Yeah, it's going to shock you when you find out who he actually is and how much power he has over the people's minds in Germany. Because as you mentioned before, this is the state media. We pay taxes for this stuff. And basically you grow up in Germany knowing that if you want to be somewhat educated, then you have to watch the state legacy media. There's a specific channel for it. There is no competition for it. You don't have Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. You just have this stuff. And then this guy in particular, he has so much power because he is the US correspondent for the German legacy media. And this means that even before the Trump administration, he has been there from the very beginning and he brainwashes millions of Germans all the time about what's going on in America. And I'm glad that this is being brought to your attention now because this has been going on for such a long time. During the Biden administration, he said that Biden was mentally, quote, top fit. And then since President Trump came into office, he announced from the very beginning that now we will see America turning into the most authoritarian country that it's ever been in 250 years. He even compared Trump to literally Hitler. There are clips of this. And then now finally Americans are waking up to this reality of who's actually in their country, because he's sitting in Washington DC with his probably journalism visa, completely carefree and so disrespectful towards the American government. He even wrote an entire book about just Donald Trump called Deadline, and the subtitle of it is why Donald Trump is a threat to the democracy and how he endangers all of us. And we are paying taxes for this. This is not possible to imagine for Americans how terrible the tyranny on free speech is in Germany. And then the clip that you just showed, the worst part about this is that this is the second clip of him saying this. He originally said it on a massive German TV show, political show, Markus Lanz, where he said these exact statements about Charlie Kirk. And then he doubled down in the second clip that you just showed. So if he comes back now and apologizes and said that he was taken out of context, that's clearly not true, because he fully agrees with what he said in the initial clip. And now already we have seen in German news, they have reported this, that this legacy media outlet, ZDF is what it's called, they already made a statement saying that he didn't quite mean it like that and he should have clarified that this is not exactly what Charlie Kirk said. No, we don't accept your apology, because you have been spewing this exact stuff for many, many months, even years, and it's very clear that you have negative intentions towards the American government, and they want to brainwash our people so that we feel some sort of enemy territory over there in the United States. And just to provide a counterexample for you, under the Biden administration, our former Interior Minister Nancy Faeser actually went to the Department of Homeland Security in America and told them that the chief editor of a German alternative media outlet, Deutschlandkurier, that he is allegedly a threat to democracy. And so he was prevented from traveling to the United States of America. Why is he a threat to democracy? Because he publicly criticized the tyranny against free speech heroes in Germany. And he was sentenced to 7 months probation because he posted a meme saying that the former interior minister who went to the Department of Homeland Security, that she hates free speech. So if that's not tyranny, then I don't know what is. And then you
so,
keep
so it
hearing
seems like,
those. Yeah.
It seems like this guy, if this guy were to be in Germany, he were to say something similar against a German a left-wing German politician, he'd probably be thrown in jail. Yeah, and he comes over here and thinks that he can just, you know, talk a bunch of smack about and lie. I mean, straight up lie about American patriots like Charlie Kirk over here. And so Christopher Landau, the Deputy Secretary of State, I don't know if you guys have that tweet, if you can put it up on the screen, but I'll read it regardless, that in light of yesterday's horrific assassination of a leading political figure, I want to underscore that foreigners who glorify violence and hatred are not welcome visitors to our country. I've been disgusted to see some on social media praising, rationalizing, or making light of the event, and have directed our consular officials to undertake appropriate action. And he asked people to tag him and the State Department in these posts, and this is how he's been responding. I mean, I got a kick out of this morning, seeing the way that he's been replying to some of these tweets, like the tweet that you made about your German friend that, you know, needs to be sent back home. I don't know if we have that tweet or not. The reply, regardless, putting up a State Department bat signal. And I actually was able to get a comment from them that they are reviewing these cases and they are serious about removing these people from our country. I mean, these are people that fundamentally hate the United States of America. For some reason, we let them in here and influence people worldwide. From the White House. I mean, I believe does he have White House access? Does this guy spend time in the White House?
Sure he does. It would be very easy for him, for sure, because he is responsible for the entire legacy media in Germany and Germans' views on American politics specifically. And I think we need to remember that those are the people who actually instigate these kinds of attacks. I mean, of course, there are the radical leftists, but they would probably not have the kind of courage and the kind of organized movement if it wasn't for the legacy media who tell them that this is justified, that these views that they have are totally fine, not only fine, but they are the mainstream. This is the false impression that they try to give us.
Yeah, so, you know, this is the time. We need to keep up the pressure on this. This is the time to remove people from the United States of America that just fundamentally hate our country. You are in the United States of America, but you don't hate our country. So, you know what? We'll let you stay. You can say you're here legally.
I appreciate it.
Unlike half the people that are on the streets of Washington, D.C. out here. But that's a topic for another day. Naomi, appreciate you coming on. And where do people find you?
On X, under Zeit Naomi, it's spelled S-E-I-B-T, Naomi. Thank you.
Yeah, they'd probably just ban you on every other platform anyway, so. Yep, go follow her on X. Good content. Thank you for coming on. And right after this, we're going to get deeper into the trans lover that shot Charlie Kirk.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene blue tube. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. And the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air, you'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but
and you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
It's throughout. I see RFKs on it. Yeah, I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy. But it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really
It skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible, and they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation books, but I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultramethylene Blue, theoxygenstore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psychotic. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, like, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
The vigils are over and the memorials, start winding down and people go about their ways. We're still going to have to keep on top of this story about who the killer was, who they knew, who they could have potentially been working with. Because at this point, we know. We haven't seen the proof yet. And we don't know. We haven't been told everything that the FBI knows, especially. But it's pretty obvious that this guy didn't just go and do this alone with nobody knowing about it and then not having anybody giving them aid and comfort after the job was done. We've seen Discord logs now from his friends, his degenerate friends, and we know that the FBI, I confirmed personally with FBI officials yesterday, that they are looking into the possibility of co-conspirators here. Now, does that mean that this is somebody that aided him, that maybe drove picked him up and drove him back home? Like, we don't know the extent of it just yet. But what we do know is that this guy was a radical leftist. If it was just him, it would make sense. And if he wasn't working with some sort of foreign power, I know it's been floated that maybe there was some sort of foreign intelligence involved. And I have no reason to believe that is or isn't true at this point. That has to be investigated. And we can't forget about the fact that you had people like John Solomon, who has like really high level contacts at the White House. They pretty much use him to put stories out. And he even mentioned it. He mentioned the fact that there could be a foreign intelligence connection here based on his sources. So we've definitely got to keep digging on this, not let it go away, not stop talking about the shooter, not let it go to the wayside like the guy that shot Trump and Butler. But some of the things that we have confirmed at this point is that, A, he was an LGBT barbecue, whatever it is, and had a trans lover, a guy that was, quote unquote, transitioning into a woman. And it's not just us saying that. It's not just the government saying that. It's not the FBI saying that. It's also his neighbors. Roll that clip.
There's some published reports out there that this individual, the roommate, may have been transitioning. Did that correlate with what you saw?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So he was going to have an operation to be turn into a woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think he's getting ready for that.
Sorry, in what way do you think that?
I remember them talking about a doctor's appointment. It was about 2 weeks ago, I would say.
And they were kissing?
Yeah.
Do you know, where did you see them kissing?
Just coming out. I was riding with my bike, so I didn't see the whole thing, but yeah, I saw them.
And when did you hear them talking about a doctor's appointment?
I would say about the same time that they came out, so that one time, yeah.
Where were you standing for that?
I was just riding by here.
Okay. So. And you were able to hear snippets of their conversation?
Yeah. Yep.
But you were sure that they were a couple, but you had only seen them together once?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, random guys don't hold hands and definitely don't kiss. So, I would have tried to stop him if I knew it was him, like, before. I definitely do not like the fact that he was living close to me. It was covered with police tape, a ton of police cars. We had a guy sitting
on the hill with a sniper. The left, when they tried to spin this as, oh, well, this guy was actually a MAGA Republican. Again, I don't know any MAGA Republicans that are banging dudes that think they're women, especially ones that dress up like animals as some sort of fetish. They're called furries. I don't know any of them. I don't know. Maybe somebody can correct me. Let me know on X. But so that narrative goes away. We know that there was clear radicalization here as well. And the question is going to be how? How was he radicalized? Because from all evidence so far, it seems like he came from a decent family. His dad is actually the one that went ahead and turned him in. Unlike fathers in other high-profile murder cases that have gone as far, like I'll bring up Gabby Petito, for example, if you guys know what that story is. Brian Laundrie, the killer's parents, like, literally let him commit suicide to get away from police. You know, so the father brought him, turned him in, and got his minister involved to make sure that his son didn't kill himself and actually made it to authorities and faced accountability. So the question is, when did the radicalization start? Did it start on Reddit? Did it start in school? Is there some sort of like modern MK Ultra experiment going on? We need to know all this stuff because it takes a lot to get an individual that is seemingly intelligent, had good grades, he was on a full ride scholarship, I believe, to Utah State University. Dropped out for whatever reason after the first year and moved to a community college. Not sure why that happened. We need answers to those questions. People just don't go around killing. Is it just from listening to people like Jasmine Crockett call people Hitler and fascist? Because, you know, what are you taught even from a young age that you're supposed to do to Hitler and Nazis and fascists? You know, you're being taught that, you know, you're supposed to kill them. That it was a good thing that we went over and killed the Nazis and such and exterminated them all. So if you are convincing people and indoctrinating them to believe that conservative media figures here, like Charlie Kirk, are Nazis and fascists, you're justifying to yourself, oh yeah, well they should be dead, and I'll go ahead and do it, and I'll be a hero for it. I don't know where, like, how the leap gets to that point though, where you genuinely start believing that they are Nazis and fascists. So something else happened. I don't fully believe that it was just rhetoric alone that made this guy go out and kill Charlie Kirk. There had to be something else. Was he groomed to do it? So many unanswered questions. We need transparency from years and years ago to see the changes in this kid's life, to figure out how he got to this point. You see lots and lots of kids now celebrating it on TikTok, kids, grown adults even, celebrating it on TikTok. Honestly, I think every sort of case of that should be investigated at this point, if that's what it's going to take. And we'll be following this up with a lot more next week as well. I'm trying not to speculate too much on this guy's background. I'm going to try to investigate it myself. I'm going out to Utah to investigate it myself. And so I'm going to leave that be for a little bit and not lead you guys astray down some path. So what I want to do here is go back a little bit to East Palestine, Ohio. The first time I ever talked to Charlie Kirk, to finish out the show here, he brought me on the show, brought light to the story, and helped the people of East Palestine. And that's how I'm going to exit the show here. I want to roll this clip. and just let you guys hear how concerned he was for everyday Americans, unlike practically every other person on TV or on the radio with a large audience. There just weren't many of them that genuinely cared and wanted to bring light to the story, like Charlie Kirk. Violent or anything like that. And Norfolk Southern knows this. So they don't want to talk. They're trying to be, you know, as opaque as possible. And, you know, some people here, when it comes to that $1,000, this is not a tremendously wealthy town. They lost one of their largest employers. They were a big ceramics manufacturer here. And once they lost that, a lot of people dropped down, you know, into poverty. And so $1,000, Norfolk Southern is expecting them to take something like that just so they can actually survive, because these people can't leave. They can't leave. And so they're forced to stay here. They can't go get a hotel by themselves. If they're going to run out of money, then they got to take that $1,000. They're forced to.
So since people are now being asked to sign these waivers, and I know that there are class action lawsuits that are starting to pile up, no one should sign anything without a lawyer present. I wouldn't sign that document. But these people are now basically
right.
going to have to live in a rather risky containment zone. And so, I mean, look, without getting too deep into the speculation of the specifics of what this could mean, I mean, are you feeling on the ground that there has been a mass government mobilization to look after the welfare of the people of East Palestine?
Not in the slightest, Charlie. The only time I ever saw anybody from the EPA here was yesterday. And I think that had to do with the fact that there were a lot of cameras here yesterday. There were a lot of local news outlets that came here just to follow, you know, the EPA administrator and the two senators. But as soon as they were gone, all the media left. I have not seen a single camera here today, right? And so that's part of what I was saying earlier, that, you know, once these guys leave, once the media is out, then everybody else is out. And I definitely don't expect the federal government to step in after all the media leaves. What incentive do they have at this point? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going to leave it to Norfolk Southern, and, you know, maybe the guilty party here will end up being the hero. So that's little one,
we'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because, I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexshowstore.com, medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.